dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday program. Coming up, NFL Power Rankings. We see who is headed towards the playoff and who is not. We'll also be talking with Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Some people are completely done with fantasy football after last week. Some of us are not. And Mike Shadwinkle, head wrestling coach at Grand Island, is going to join us next segment, talk about the Flatwater Fracas, the 20 teams that are coming in for the two-day dual tournament at the Heartland Events Center in Grand Island. We'll talk about that, and Grand Island not only being ranked number one in the state, but being ranked nationally as well. So that's all coming up on the program today. We've got football going on tonight as the Colts try to stay unbeaten against Jacksonville. It's not a question of who the better team is. It's a question of which team Indianapolis will put out on the field. You'll be able to hear the game right here on ESPN Radio. Pregame is at 7 o'clock. Some good high school basketball tonight on our network of stations on 98.9 KKPR. Grand Island Central Catholic will be at Minden. The doubleheader starts at 6. On the Breeze, 94.5 FM. Blue Hill will be at Silver Lake. The doubleheader starts at 6:15. So that's among some of the things that are going on. And despite the death of Chris Henry of the Cincinnati Bengals today, the number two story still is Tiger Woods. Every time you turn the television on, the radio on, pick up the paper, that's the number two story. So the Woods saga yet to go away, and it seems like it won't go away because there's always something new every day. Something new every day. It was the doctor he was acquainted with early in the week. Now it sounds like his wife, Elin, is leaving him, and so we'll hear about that up until something new develops in this or until they actually hear from Tiger or see some pictures.
Doug, if you had to do a national radio show for 3 or 4 hours, and they said this morning at 7 o'clock, you went on the air at 11 or whatever, pick a time, and they said, 4 hours, Douglas. Enjoy talking about Tiger Woods for 4 hours. Good luck, buddy. And they hit you on the butt and told you good game. How do they do it? 4 hours, that's all they talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we get.
That would explain why he has trouble with an hour, right, Derek?
That's correct.
Go ahead.
Just kidding, big guy. Just kidding. We're just kidding. We're just ribbing you. Come on.
Is that our New Year's resolution? Quit making fun of Tony.
Yeah, we'll be nice.
Quit making fun of Tony when he thinks you're. I mean, even when you're not making fun.
But
of
see,
Tony.
You people
Should
don't
we
see.
We have a hug right now.
Do people don't see what he says to us off the air.
Oh,
see,
it's brutal.
It's brutal.
It's absolutely brutal. The words he uses. It's borders. It borders on, you know, taking a lawsuit out against you. No. I mean, you find ways to make it controversial. You find ways to get people to make opinions on it, much like, and, you know, from time to time, we listen to what's going on in Mike and Mike. We listen to what's going on around the state, and we like to think that folks listen to what we have to say and some of the great guests that we've had on the show. And if you ever miss any of those, all you have to do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com, listen to the podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. Well, they've got some great things going on, and we'll be telling you more about that in a little bit. They are open throughout the holidays. Christmas Eve, check. Christmas Day, check. New Year's Eve, check, check. New Year's Day, check, 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 to get you through 2010 at Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. Come in. They've done a lot of remodeling. Check out the new digs, especially if you're coming back into town from the holidays, returning to town, to check out Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. Some of the guests that we've had this week, former Husker volleyball coach Terry Pettit, who's going into the Hall of Fame today. Ryan Finley joined us from Arizona to talk about the Wildcats and the Huskers in the Holiday Bowl. Charles Davis from the NFL Network talked about NFL and the BCS. Yesterday we had UNK coaches Carol Russell, Entertainment Day. So last week, Mike Perenio was with us from Las Vegas. So all kinds of folks.
Tomorrow. Don't tell them about tomorrow.
You can check it all out on the web at ESPNSuperstation.com. Tomorrow, Tim Griffin from ESPN.com, the Big 12 blogger who has been covering the Big 12 about as long as anyone in the business, will talk about Kansas and the hiring of Turner Gill, what's going on with all the Big 12 schools, maybe somebody leaving to go to the Big 10, maybe Missouri. Would Iowa State or Nebraska be considered to go there? And we'll preview the bowl games as well with Tim Griffin tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Just came out with a Mangino settlement yesterday afternoon late. $3 million smacks go in Coach Mangino's pocket. That's a lot of buffets, no matter how you slice and dice that one up. $3 million. You thought with all the accusations of wrongdoing, when they do that, must not have been much evidence of it, was there?
Yeah, there's... Yeah, everybody got what they wanted out of the deal, and Turner Gill is the new coach. Daddy, speaking of listening to other people, I had a chance to catch our brethren in Omaha yesterday on unsportsmanlike conduct. And with Tiger Woods yesterday being named the Associated Press Athlete of the Decade, they were saying, who is the Nebraska Athlete of the Decade? And if you want to chime in, I chuckled because every once in a while they'd come in with a UNO hockey player. Omaha whack jobs. I don't care. It just doesn't even. But Ndamukong Suh ends up winning their little poll. Okay.
It's new. It's fresh. He's the one.
He's. This would take some time to settle down. I don't know who it would be. The two names that immediately popped into my mind were Alex Gordon and Sarah Pavin. You know, whoever you've got is going to have some tie to the University of Nebraska, most likely. But if you've got an idea who you think maybe the athlete of the decade is, shoot us an email to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Danny Woodhead got a lot of support in their poll. Alex Gordon and Danny Woodhead, I believe, were second and third. Jabba Chamberlain was on there. Jordan Larson was on there from the volleyball team. And, you know, you'd like to say Christina Hotelling. Well, Pavin had more honors. So, I mean, that you know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of people with some good area ties. So
she was loonier, too.
It was teaching those stinky fourth graders or second graders or whatever they were. But, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting. Who would you pick just from the decade? Just, you know, they threw out Rulon Gardner, but really he didn't do anything in Nebraska in the last decade. Kyle Vandenbosch got 1 year in the decade in. So, you know, it was a little bit interesting.
Yeah, if you're going to say, you know, with them winning a Heisman Trophy, of course, 2001, Eric Crouch probably
Eric
came
Crouch
up.
Eric Crouch was in there, yeah. Yeah.
But I think the name that, I think you're right on it. If you look over a couple, 3 years of accomplishments, you look at what Alex Gordon did and the awards he was able to rack up with the baseball team and the success they had while he was there and then getting that number one draft pick.
There were also a couple of votes for Richie Incognito. The newest member of the Buffalo Bills, Derek.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable, isn't it? They need offensive line help, and I think they saw this as a chance, so we'll see.
Derek, our resident Buffalo Bill fan on the program today. Doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, it doesn't. They're coming down the stretch anyway. They're already terrible. Hopefully they get rid of T.O. after this season. He was only on for this year, so we'll see what happens.
Daddy, Sean Watson spoke after practice yesterday. We've been approaching this like spring ball, giving ourselves an opportunity to get the wind back in us. It's important to get guys healthy. We've had good practices. This was their fourth since the Texas game yesterday. It's been a spring-like mentality. The guys who started from the very beginning, we've started reteaching them and taking our time going through things and working on a lot of fundamentals with them. When it comes to quarterback, we want to give looks to everybody. Exactly. Cody Green, LaTravis Washington, giving them all a lot of reps. Zach's been banged up, so maybe not as many as others. And speaking of the offense of the Big 12, the quote was, "We don't like the taste in our mouth. We have a lot of work to do, a lot of improvements. We're humbled by what we have to do. We just have to go to work. The guys have done a nice job. Barney Cotton is taking the line back to the beginning, back to all the little things you can do in spring practice because you aren't caught in a time crunch."
We'd have to talk to, you know, John Kirby from Kansas or you know, Chris Leach, a friend from Texas Tech, to talk about their offensive lines. Does it seem like every year the Nebraska offensive line is as banged up as anybody's in the country? I mean, almost every year it's decimated with injuries.
isn't this your thought, isn't this Nebraska fans' thought that the whole bowl game comes down to Nebraska's offensive execution, whether they win the Holiday Bowl over Arizona or not? Is that, I mean, there seems to be really no overall riding concern about what Arizona's going to do. It's more about what Nebraska's offense can produce.
Yeah, can you produce any points, period? I mean, that's a big question. I mean, you return a punt to literally the 8 or 10-yard line, and you run it three times to the 6 and really have no opportunity. I mean, there was 0% chance on that drive of scoring a touchdown. Zero. They're not a 0.5%. They're not a 1%. They played for the field goal. Let's get 3 and get our defense back out there. That's what they did. Shame on Niles Paul. I wish he could have taken it 10 more yards and fought off another 8 defenders. Great return, by the way, Niles.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com.
Douglas, really looking forward to the week in the NFL. And this is the second time this year that Cincinnati, with Chris Henry passing, has had to go through Mike Zimmer, the defensive coach for them, lost his wife to cancer early in the year. Now the team, in the middle of one of your first playoff runs or an opportunity to make a run into the playoff and build up ahead of steam, gets another punch in the gut. They've got to play at San Diego. Really not like you can say, we don't feel like playing. You're going to play the game. They're not going to stop the NFL season for this. These guys have to go halfway across the country and play this football game, and they got to have just a sick.
Then back, then to a funeral, then it's Christmas, then it's another football game, and this is a team that's going to win their division, or at least they were set up to win their division, and we'll see how this affects them on the field. Yeah, that's what we're talking about, what's going on the field.
Well, yeah, so many positive things, and then maybe football helps you. I think when somebody's got an illness, like a cancer, like something like that, it lets you move on and think about other things and not dwell on the moment. But when you lose a teammate, that somebody that's went out and fought with you all year and turned this deal around for Cincinnati, that can't make you want to get out there. The playoff picture, that can't inspire you, can it?
Let's go to the phone lines at 888-455-ESPN. Brandon from Wahoo is making his way through Central Nebraska. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I was just listening here, and I'm not familiar with your show. Sorry, I'm not out in this area very often. The gentleman that was talking about, after the Niles Paul punt return down to the 10?
Yeah.
You said we had ran it three times and then kicked a field goal?
Right.
I'm pretty sure that on third down we had a pass play to the corner of the end zone that Kenny caught about 4 inches out of bounds.
Daddy.
Okay, Brandon from Wahoo, I'm going to check that.
I was sitting on the 10-yard line at the end of that game, and that happened right in front of me. I'm pretty sure that was a series, but I will definitely agree with you. We definitely needed to try to push the ball a little more. But on that particular series, on third down, I'm positive that that was the catch we had out of bounds. You remember that play?
Yeah, fair enough, Brandon. I will concede that point. How many points are you going to take to beat Arizona in your mind?
You know what? Probably more than we could score.
Hey, Brandon, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your call. Have a safe day, all right?
All right, you guys have a good one.
Brandon, because he's traveling through the area, not used to knowing the quizzical looks that are on your face during this show, and you now have a quizzical look upon your face.
Let's check that out.
All right. Let's take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. You check it out. Mike Shadwinkle is going to join us to talk about the Flatwater Fracas. The district football pairings have been announced for 2010 and 11 in high school football. We'll take a look at that. Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com, all coming up. Love to hear from you. Shoot it off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Schroeder Smoked Foods is now in the Conestoga Mall in Grand Island across from Radio Shack. You can get the same great-tasting food like pulled pork, baby back ribs, pork loin, smoked beef and chicken, and homemade pies. With six flavors of brats and the best sauce on the planet, Grandma Foster's barbecue sauce, Schroeder Smoked Foods has made it easier for Central Nebraska to get a hold of the same awesome, mouth-watering food for Husker tailgates or just for a meal at home. Stop by Schroeder Smoked Foods in the Conestoga Mall for your great-tasting food today.
This is my favorite time of the year. Hi, I'm Doug Keller, Eustace Body Shop. I enjoy the changing seasons, especially the gathering of friends and family for the holidays. It's a great time to count your blessings. Part of the blessings for me are those of you we've met and helped at Eustace Body Shop. Thank you, too, for the encouraging letters and calls we've received after helping you through the trauma of an accident. At Eustace Body Shop, Grand Island, Kearney, Lexington, Eustace, and Cozad, we wish you the best holiday season ever.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Saturday, it's an NFC battle in the Big Easy as the New Orleans Saints play host to the Dallas Cowboys. Hi, this is Howard David of Westwood One. Join Randy Cross and me for all the action from the Superdome as Drew Brees and the Saints try to stay undefeated in Week 15. They face Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys. Can the boys put an end to the perfect season? Be here to find out. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
Cowboys and Saints, Saturday night at 7 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with high temperatures in the upper 30s. Winds will also stay to the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see lows at around 23. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 34.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's a Thursday edition. 1 week away from Christmas Eve. I feel better. I started my Christmas shopping. I feel better. I have made purchases.
Internet or shopping?
Actual shopping. Shop locally, Tool.
I try to as much as I can.
There you go, including Misco Sports. Including Misco's. I've got some things from Misco Sports. They're going to be wrapped up. I already know somebody's going to be happy. Husker gear, football gear, Loper gear, Kearney High, Kearney Catholic apparel is all 20% off. College and NFL hoodies, 25% off. And for the kids, youth Nike and Adidas apparel, 50% off. They've got letter jackets, all the basketballs, volleyballs, footballs, baseballs, bats, gloves, whatever you need for the holidays. It doesn't have to be winter specific. They've got what you need at Misco Sports on the Bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. They're open 7 days a week, open a little later every night for your shopping convenience. They want to take care of you. Stop in, see Steve and the gang. That's right, Steve Squared at Misco Sports on the Bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Who wouldn't love something in a little red Husker tint for the upcoming holidays, unless you're one of those psycho Texas fans. Coming up over the next 2 days, that's right, psycho Texas fan. Coming up over the next 2 days, there will be the Flatwater Fracas going on at the Heartland Events Center in Grand Island, and the head coach of the number one team in the state is Mike Shadwinkle of the Islanders, and he joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
How's things looking?
Well, so far so good. I'm out at the event center as we speak, just kind of checking the layout and everything and kind of getting ready to start doing the setup tonight and get things ready to roll for tomorrow.
Mike, first question up here. This is a dual tournament that is starting to grow a little bit here. It's still a little bit in its infancy. Tell me what you're most pleased with and how the direction you think is going here in 2009.
Well, I think that probably the most exciting thing about this is just how it's, like you said, it's relatively in its infancy, but yet it's growing and gaining momentum. Probably the thing that's most exciting is just the quality of teams that are, you know, really that are in it and that are trying to get into it. And it's just going to make the level of competition continue to get better and better as the years pass.
Mike, what's been the reaction when you contact a Manhattan or somebody like that to come in?
You know, Manhattan in particular is extremely excited about this event. They came up, and this will be their third year. They were with us from the beginning, and they absolutely love this event. And I think that most anybody that comes in, whether it be in-state or out-of-state, find that they're going to come into a great facility. You know, our people do a fantastic job of running the event. It's smooth. It's great for the fans. You can see everything. You know, 8 mats in a nice big arena, and plenty of seating and plenty of opportunity to have a, you know, not just to watch great wrestling, but just have an overall great experience. And I think that that's probably why this tournament is so popular and why people are so excited to get into it, is just because, you know, it's really become a first-class event. The competitors get treated well. The fans get treated well. It's just an overall great experience for everybody. And, you know, we're just excited to be hosting it and be, you know, a progressive enough school and a place to pull this off. And obviously with the help of the city of Grand Island and having this wonderful facility just really makes this a great deal for everybody.
Grand Island head wrestling coach Mike Shadwinkle is with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike, last year the weather kind of messed things up a little bit. It looks like we're going to be just fine this week. How does that impact out-of-state teams? I think it was Montana had a team coming in. Maybe Wyoming and South Dakota have been interested. As you said, a couple teams from Kansas. How much is there of teams wanting to come in and you wanting out-of-state teams?
Well, we really want to grow this into a very, you know, prestigious and regional event where, you know, we can get teams from out of state to come into this. You know, and so that's kind of the ultimate goal. But, you know, obviously we've got a great group of Nebraska schools that are in it, and we still have a lot of other Nebraska schools interested in. And I really see us getting beyond 20 teams next year. We've already had lots of teams. You know, it seems like this happens every year. We're like, hey, we're interested in next year. We're interested in next year. And so we've got lots of teams that are interested in this for next year. You know, the weather has been kind of a downer on us both the first year and the second year of this event. And like you said, hopefully this week we got all our big storm last week, and so hopefully this weekend will work out really well, and we can get, you know, not only get the out-of-state teams in, but get everybody in and out of here safely, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to get more fans in here and really, really see what a quality event this is.
Mike, the dual format has seemed to take on a kind of a life of its own. Has there been any more talk of crowning a state champion in this event?
You know, we haven't talked about, we always bounce around the idea of, hey, do we want to keep doing this dual format or do we want to look at going to an individual event? I think the fact that this is so early in the year, I think really lends itself to a dual format. I think most of the teams that come, you know, really like the idea of, you know, early in the season, you know, before Christmas, of spending time, you know, with your team, competing together as a team. And, you know, I think, you know, every coach would say to some degree that, you know, they want to wrestle as a team because it really, you know, you get a chance to build that team camaraderie and build that cohesiveness that you're going to need down the stretch run. So, you know, that with that in mind, I think we really like the dual format. And it really lends itself well to the fans, too, because everybody can, you know, everybody from Kearney or Aurora or from wherever can come and sit and watch their team compete, you know, and our fans can sit and watch us compete. We don't have to, you know, have one kid wrestling on one end of the arena and another one going on the other end of the arena and, you know, people having to move around and stuff like that. So the dual format just seems to really lend itself well, especially for the timing of the season. And then also, you know, we also want to kind of cater to our fans and stuff and all the other teams' fans as well.
Mike Shadwinkle, Grand Island wrestling coach, with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. The Flatwater Fracas begins tomorrow at the Heartland Event Center at 1 o'clock. There are 20 teams broke down into 4 pools of 5 each. So there is 5 rounds. Everybody gets one duel off. They go every hour and a half, 1, 2, 30, 4. And then they'll take a little extra break, go 6 and 7:30. And, Mike, let's face it, when you host, you can kind of do what you want. And the pool that you are in with Omaha Gross, Millard West, Adams Central, and Manhattan, those are teams you want to face, and you've kind of set it up that way.
Yeah, I mean, we want to, you know, when I look at and we look at trying to lay the pools out, you know, we want to make every pool competitive. We want to balance the power as well as we can so that we get the right teams into the championship pool and the middle pool or into the championship bracket and the second bracket and the pool of the fifth place teams. You know, we want to try to balance that out. But we also want to, you know, try to cater to teams' needs and wants. You know, we send an email out to all the coaches and say, hey, who do you just not want to see? You know, for instance, Kearney and us have wrestled you know, each of the last weekends, you know, we know like Aurora and North and Grand Island Northwest see each other a lot. You know, and then, you know, there's funny matchups where people don't get to see each other, you know, even simple ones like Hastings and Adams Central, you know, where they, you know, might want to try to see each other. And so, you know, we try to cater to everybody's wants, but it, you know, we just can't do everything. But so it's taken in a whole lot of factors, you know, trying to get geographical teams hooked up where they're not going to see each other any other time during the season, but also trying to balance the power out a little bit so that, you know, so that we get very good competitive duels on the second day with the right teams in the right brackets and things like that. So, you know, yeah, our pool has some decent power and a decent mix, and also, you know, has some A's and B's, and, you know, some of the other brackets have a few more A's, a few less A's, and a few more B's and a few more C's, but, you know, we try to balance it out as well as we can, and so different classes are wrestling against each other, and you know, like I said, so we get some interesting matchups where we've got teams that don't see each other regularly.
I guess whether it's a dual format or a tournament format, being the number one ranked team in the state, you should wipe everybody, huh?
So I have to ask that again. I kind of missed
it. You should be able to take care of business, be the number one team in all the land.
Well, we hope so. I mean, you know, that's where we've tried to get our program to. And so, you know, to say that we're not going to go try to win this thing, it would be a fallacy. But, you know, we're going to try to come out here and perform well and get after these teams and hope we can come out on top. But we also know that there's going to be some good stiff competition. You know, we've got Kearney in this. We've got Omaha North in it. Just, you know, 1, 2, and 3 in the state in Class A right now. You know, and then you throw a Norfolk in, who's also ranked in the top 10 in Class A, and then you've got Mitchell, the number one ranked Class C team. You know, you've got a nice balance of good traditional teams in Class B with Aurora, and, you know, Adams Central's had some recent successes, and so, you know, there's good teams at all levels of this thing, and, you know, plus we're bringing in Smith Center, Kansas, who's a small high school, but one that's been very, very powerful in Kansas. I think they've won the last 3 in a row. State championships in, I think, the 1A, 2A, 3A in Kansas, and then Manhattan, Kansas, has won a state championship in the last few years. And so, you know, we're bringing in some good teams, and we're excited to go compete against those teams. And you know, also, we're still looking to see where we're going to measure up to. I mean, obviously, there's a big target on our back, but we also want to go measure ourselves, too.
Yeah, Mike, following up on that, talk about how your team has performed to start the season, and you still have a couple of big tournaments after this.
Certainly, you know, and this is another good stepping stone for us to get ready for those big events that we've got coming after Christmas. You know, we're going to go up to Minnesota and wrestle in another dual tournament against teams from all over the country at the Clash, and then, you know, we're going to go see a good 2-day individual tournament in Colorado. So this is a good thing for us to get ready for those things. You know, just being in a big arena, making weight 2 days in a row, wrestling good competition. Seeing teams that we're never going to see again. I mean, all of those things help kids mentally prepare for those big events later on. And, you know, that's just a great thing for us and for our schedule to have those, to have these opportunities and something like this to help prepare us for what's coming too.
Well, last question for you, Mike, before we let you get out of here. Besides Grand Island and Kearney, is it one of the Kansas teams who could be challenging you two, for the championship come Saturday at 3?
Well, you know, I don't know what exactly Manhattan and Smith Center will have. I know Smith Center has one kid in particular, Colt Rogers is his name, and the kid is extremely impressive. He's a very talented kid that's one individual. They did have a nice team last year. I think Smith Center will be very competitive. You know, whether or not they'll be able to challenge us and Kearney and Omaha North and some of the teams that we have here is yet to be seen, and that's kind of the beauty of it, is it's a little bit of some unknowns. Manhattan graduated a fair crew a year or two ago, and 2 years ago when they got second, first year in this event, they were a very nice team. You know, and whether they've developed some more of their kids and have some new young ones coming in, again, it's just kind of yet to be seen. And that, I think that's part of what makes this so exciting is, you know, we don't know exactly what's going on, and some of that unknown is good for all of us, you know, because we don't know exactly what all we're up against, and that really helps. It really helps our teams wrestle and compete because, you know, mentally you have to prepare for that unknown, and that's a great challenge for everybody.
Mike, tell us what time it all gets started.
Yeah, we get started at 1:00 on Friday afternoon, and then we've got, like I said, 5 rounds of duels going, and there is a brief little half an hour supper break built into it. Usually the way this thing works out is we have a couple of duels that are pretty competitive that overrun it, and we don't have much of a supper break. But and then Saturday morning we'll get started at 10 a.m. Saturday is kind of the exciting, I mean, not that Friday is not exciting, because there will be some great duels on Friday, but Saturday things get really excited because we take the top two teams out of each pool and put them into a bracket, and then we take the third and fourth place teams and put them into a bracket, and then the team that gets fifth in each pool will go into another pool, and everybody will get seven duels throughout the weekend, four on Friday and three on Saturday. So Saturday we start at 10, and I believe we've got the final scheduled to start about 3.
Yep, 3 o'clock.
If I remember right.
Yeah, 3 o'clock looks good. That's the place you want to be Saturday all weekend long at the Flatwater Fracas coming up this weekend. Mike, congratulations on the great start and getting off a great tournament, and we look forward to sending some fans over there, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Great. Hope everybody comes out and watches. Obviously, there's a lot of great local flair in this tournament, and we're excited to have everybody over, and hopefully we have another great event, and everybody get out and get to see a lot of great high school wrestling.
Sounds good. Mike, thanks for the time, as always.
You bet. Thanks for the coverage. Appreciate it.
You bet. Mike Shadwinkle, head wrestling coach at Grand Island. They're ranked number one. Kearney's number two. Grand Island, Grand Island Northwest, Grand Island Central Catholic, Kearney High, Hastings High, Adams Central are all among the teams competing. Pool one, as we said, Grand Island with Omaha Gross, Millard West, Adams Central, and Manhattan, Kansas. Pool two, Lincoln Southwest, High Plains, Aurora, Omaha North, and North Platte. Pool three, Kearney, Thayer Central, Smith Center, Kansas, Papillion La Vista South, Grand Island Central Catholic, and Pool 4, Hastings High, Mitchell, Norfolk, Grand Island Northwest, and Gothenburg. And it all gets underway tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe DeMeo coming up. Plus, we're going to talk a little high school football and take a look at the districts that were announced yesterday right after this.
Hey, sports fans, Scott Van Pelt for Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's football season again, and everybody's got a team they're cheering for, but whatever happens week to week, there's one team you can always depend on, Ruth's Chris. That's because you can count on every Ruth's Chris steak to be served thick, juicy, and in Ruth's signature way, sizzling on a 500-degree plate so every bite stays hot and delicious. You can't help but come away happy, like winning the big game happy. So no matter what the scoreboard says, you can always have a winning dining experience with Ruth's Chris. Come in today and tell them Scott Van Pelt sent you.
Rick Rickman is a certified process efficiency expert.
Now, my real name is Richard, but Rick is more efficient.
Rick spends his waking hours obsessively streamlining and simplifying just about everything, except for his TomTom GPS.
They covered it all, and it's driving me insane.
Yes, with just a few taps of the screen, Rick's easy-to-use TomTom can instantly find him the most efficient way to get anywhere at any time of day.
The best I could do was give it a nickname. I called mine Tom.
TomTom, go confidently.
If you're a real sports fan, you've probably already had one of everything from the kitchenette to Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill. Well, now it's time to accomplish that feat again, because the Bullseye is expanding the menu. New pregame appetizers including Denver Cheddar Nuggets with Jalapeno, Boise State Bronco Nachos, and Spinach and Artichoke Dip. There's some rookies on the Bullseye roster, too. Cheesy Focaccia, Veggie, and Hawaiian Delight flatbreads if you're trying to keep in game shape. Remember that the Bullseye Sports Bar and Grill is open early for breakfast till the last play of overtime. West 2nd Street in Hastings, across the street from the water park.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Need health coverage? Now you can get the best of both. Personal service from your local Farm Bureau agent and a health plan from a company you know and trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Call today and find out about the great rates and great coverage available through your Farm Bureau agent. Among the many benefits, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska members enjoy fast and accurate processing of their claims. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers are proud to serve the Kearney area. Call them today at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 to learn more about affordable health plans for you, your family, or your business. Farm Bureau agents are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
We'll see partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with high temperatures in the upper 30s. Winds will also stay to the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see lows at around 23. I'm weather and meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 34.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You know, Derek, yesterday I was getting ready to send out the bowl pick'em to our four finalists.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized I didn't have a phone number or an email for any of them. We got the shirt size, we got their mailing address, and we got their name, just like you were told to do. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying I got one email address. So I'm telling, can I have the four finalists again? We hooked up with Justin this morning, and so I think it would be easier for our winners to contact us via the Debt Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to email you the picks, then you email them back by next Wednesday. And, of course, the winner of our four finalists gets the Lazy Boy recliners, a pair, a dose of Lazy Boy recliners from Bruce Furniture. And they are Wes in Amherst, Jim in Loomis, Chris in Lawrence, and then I already took care of a Justin and Carney, spoke with him this morning. So if Chris in Lawrence, Wes in Amherst, Jim and Loomis, I know are all listeners to the Doug and Daddy Show, and they're all waiting for their information, shoot us an email to Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. If for some reason you don't have email, give us a call here, 888-455-3776. Derek will get your information, and we'll get you the form otherwise, but email is the easiest way to do that. So give us an email here.
It's pretty obvious. We would have loved to have had every one of the four on the air and pick them, but that gives somebody an advantage, obviously, hearing what those people pick. So it'll just be a secret ballot. Go down to the end, see who's the champion of the two recliners. Simple as that. Well, champion of the two recliners, or your champion in the field like Dynagro. 2009 yield results are in. They'd like to thank all their customers, plot cooperators, and Dynagro dealers for making this yield report possible. Thanks for all your hard work throughout a very unusual and successful growing season. You know, this year, Dynagro, like every other seed company, experienced a very cool wet spring, received good heat in June to catch up with heat units, but a cooler and wetter than normal July and August. Cool conditions in August and September, along with early snows, led to very slow dry down in most fields. Overall, though, record yields were produced in most fields with Dynagro corn hybrids in 2009. Call your local Dynagro seed dealer today, 1-800-652-9298. Check them out on the line, Dyna-GrowSeed. That's DynaGROC.com today. 1-800-652-9298. Contact them. They're getting better every year, people. The genetics improve. They've got seed for your farming operation.
Well, as we said yesterday, the 2010 and 2011 district football assignments for high schools are out. Class A was out last week, and then everybody else was released yesterday. The significance here, you win your district, you make the state playoffs automatically. These are the teams you know you'll be playing over the next two seasons. And now schools go out and request to the state who they want to play in their non-district games. So you find out who's in your district, Kearney Catholic and Ravenna. There's a, you know, they played, they weren't in the same district, same class, but not the same district last year. So now they don't have to request it to play each other. They'll go put out three more and see who they hook up with. And that's the way it is with all the other teams. And so here's how the districts break down for most of the schools in our listening area. The B6, two-time state champion Aurora, is in with Hastings, Northwest, and York. Teams that have struggled pretty much the last couple of years. The B7, Adams Central, stays in Class B, and they will be in with Holdridge, Lexington, and McCook. That should be a very competitive Class B district. C1, Grand Island Central Catholic will be in with Minden, Centura, Gibbon, and Sandy Creek. Minden had a pretty simple district. Now them and Central Catholic would appear to be the two top dogs there. The other three schools have struggled a little bit. St. Paul, Ord, O'Neill, Central City, and Boone Central, which is Albion, in one district. Broken Bow and Cozad are in with Gothenburg, Valentine, and Ainsworth. That could be a pretty competitive district. Those schools have been up and down as of late. And, of course, Broken Bow with a great run in C1 last year, probably the second-best team in C1 last year, even though they weren't rated there. Stu Pospisil from the Omaha World Herald is on the line. Hi, Stu.
Fortuitous timing or was that a setup?
Well, it was a pseudo setup. Boy, where does the time go? I look at my watch and here's Stu with us. Hastings St. Cecilia drops down. They're in with Donovan Trumbull, Superior, Sutton and Thayer, Central, Kearney Catholics in with Ravenna, Wood River, Southern Valley, Blue Hill. We'll get to D in a little bit. But, Stu, I know you've had a chance to look these over. Howells goes down to D2, a little bit of a surprise. There was a couple of schools that didn't consolidate. There were some that did. As you look at them, what caught your eye right away of, oh, my God, the third best or fourth best team in this district should make it to state, but they're going to have a tough time. Well, where did it stand out?
Well, I think that eight-man two-district, Clarkson, Dodge, Howells, Humphrey, Humphrey, St. Francis, and Lee is awfully good. It kind of ranks up there with that district we had last year where Ewing was in there with Chambers and Pope John and Cedar Rapids and because I think Humphrey's on the rise, St. Francis and Howells are defending champions. Clarkson, I expect to be better. They were decimated by transfers last year all over the state. It was kind of bizarre. You know, taking a look, I think some of your teams, your way, got some pretty easy draws. You know, I mean, I you know, GICC and Minden, I think that's your title game there. You know, down in that C18 district, you know, Boone Central had a pretty good decade. St. Paul's been pretty solid. You know, the other three are up and down. The one thing is that there's going to be a couple decent-sized drives there for teams.
Stu, what were you told about the Howells decision when they didn't end up consolidating?
Dodge is the one that backed out. Howells has been ready to go a couple times, and Clarkson backed out during the summer, and then they tried to work out with Dodge. Dodge took a straw vote. It was in favor of consolidation, merger. And then when it came down to a mail-in vote, it went down, and the school board voted, I believe, 3-3, so it was deadlocked, so no action taken. You know, that's one reason I don't like six-man boards or six-person boards. Are you listening, NSAA? you know, so I don't know where they're going to head. I know that for my in-laws, that Scribner, Snyder, and Loganview are a possibility, maybe sooner than later. I don't, you know, they have to understand the NSAA is going to, you know, be forcing Scribner to play its eight-man schedule for 2 years, regardless of. But I know Scribner's going to be doing a straw poll, I believe, Monday night.
We're joined right now by Stu Pospisil. I know the same thing happened with North Loop Scotia Greeley Wallback, and now they're both going to end up playing six-man football. Stu, why do we have the way we have it in B through D2, but we don't have it that way in A, where the Metro stays, where Omaha stays in Omaha, and the rest of the schools are then mixed together in two districts?
Well, it, you know, I don't know why. Because we do blend for the basketball and soccer and volleyball at the end of the year. I think that they have separated this because, let's be honest, football's your money horse. And you've got to, you know, for athletic budgets, you got to try and take in some money from football. You know, probably more so at a lot of schools. You know, basketball's popular in some areas, and you've got some really bad teams out there that aren't going to, you know, make diddly for the athletic funds this year. You know, I think that you've got to kind of, you know, keep these together. There are, you know, we'll see how many games between A1, A2, and then the Metros. I would hope that, you know, we've seen most teams get at least one outside of area game on their schedules. I would hope we'd see one or two for everybody. You know, looking at those, you know, you've got Millard South, Prep, and Central and Papillion South in A3. When we have a six-team district and right now only three go to state, four at the max, those six-team districts are a slight disadvantage compared to, you know, let's say District A4, where you have Millard North and Millard West that are the likely candidates, and then either Bellevue East, Benson, or South is going. It's not as bad as what we had last year, or the past 2 years, where we had Millard South and Prep as locks, and then Benson, Northwest, and South, one of those had to go to state.
Absolutely. Stu Possible is joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Stu, I guess you get a team that comes to mind for me, like Loup City, that playing Class C2 falls all the way to D2. Anybody else really unexpectedly drop or move further than maybe you thought they would?
Well, getting back to Scribner for a minute, they were within one student of having the same thing happen, going from C2 all the way down to D2. You know, that's not necessarily bad for Loup City, as far as, you know, if they can, put together some boys, dropping down two classes and playing an 8-man 2, I think, is probably easier than playing 8-man 1. But, depends on your area, and I was just looking at refresh my memory. You know, it's kind of an odd district there because it goes all the way from Lindsay to Pleasanton.
That'll be a nice road trip a couple of times for a couple of our schools. Stu joins us again. St. Cecilia comes down. Ogallala comes down. There were a few teams that move around. With St. Cecilia in C2, C1, I know it's a long way away, but knowing what you know about next year, is there already some locks to win some state titles? I mean,
you would have to think that the Howells St. Francis winner is going in the playoffs is going to go on and win state. I just those are two power programs that, you know, even though their numbers obviously are dropping off a little bit, because Howells just 2 years ago, remember, was coming out of C2. St. Cecilia's got good athletes. I don't see anything in their district that's going to halt them from being a district champion. I know Cambridge is going to be pretty solid out west. Again, next year, Gus Peterson was all-state for me, and Cambridge just always comes up with good teams. You know, Kearney Catholic staying down there, too, if things work out and they avoid some injuries. I know they had a few this year. You got a solid Ravenna team sitting in those Western 5 districts. You know, Crofton coming down from C1 to C2 and being in the Western part is also very interesting.
Well, Stu, we just wanted to grab your attention or grab your thoughts here for a few minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we appreciate you joining us. It'll be probably time to talk again when the non-district games get scheduled, and we'll see who's got the tougher road and where some of those wacky matchups always seem to occur a little bit. But everybody's going to be able to start practice at the same time. That may open things up for a few more week zero games. There's talk about six-man now going back under the NSAA umbrella if the six-man association wants that to happen. So we can talk about that next time. But just want to wish you and your entire family a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, buddy.
Well, Merry Christmas to you guys. And we'll have holiday tourney schedules out next week. And, when we talk again, it will be close to the middle of basketball season. Is that not scary?
It is very, very scary. Stu, happy holidays, buddy. Go to Omaha.com, folks.
We'll see ya.
Love you, Stuart.
We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joe DiMeo joins us. Our NFL Power Rankings, it's all coming up.
Introducing Domino's $5.99 carryout pizza deal. It's so amazing, we can't talk about it on the air.
Sure we can. It's a large extra cheese pizza plus any topping for just $5.99.
A price so low, we can't say it out loud.
I just said it. It's $5.99.
We're not even allowed to think about this incredible limited time offer.
Is that how you really talk?
Yes.
Back by popular demand, Domino's $5.99 carryout pizza deal. For limited time only, carry out a large one-topping pizza with extra cheese for just $5.99. Only at Domino's.
Limit 256 per household per day. Carry out only. Deep dish may be extra. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
It's time to bring your movies, video games, TV shows, and music to the next level with the Wireless Butt Kicker. It's a silent subwoofer that allows you to feel all the action. It's a whole new experience and the perfect gift. Hook the Wireless Butt Kicker kit to your existing furniture and electronics and sit back and enjoy. It's not loud, it's not going to keep up the kids, but you're going to actually feel the action as it happens. Go to ShakeMyCouch.com to order online with free shipping. The Butt Kicker. Feel what you've been missing.
Hi, folks. This is Darrell Waltrip, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local Water Furnace dealer today.
We don't cut corners, Vidalki Heating and Air.
Whether it comes in a glass, on a plate, or in a bucket, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft has specials that year in and year out make them a favorite for Kearney area sports fans. College or pro, the TVs are always on, the crowd turned up, the food and snacks hot, and the beverages cold. Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, ready to roll through the fall and winter sports seasons. And when the game isn't on, the live entertainment is at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, downtown Kearney.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
It's another busy week of high school basketball on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. Thursday on 98.9 KKPR, Grand Island Central Catholic is at Minden, and on the Breeze 94.5 FM, Blue Hill is at Silver Lake. Friday on ESPN 1460, Grand Island is at Kearney. Orange and Adams Central on ESPN 1550. Ralston is at the Hastings Boys on 1230 KHAS. And Kearney Catholic will host Elm Creek on 98.9. It's all coming up this week.
We'll see partly cloudy skies develop across the area today with high temperatures in the upper 30s. Winds will also stay to the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see lows at around 23. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 34.
We're back, Doug and Daddy Show, Sunday Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. It's Thursday, 11:45, 11:50. That means one thing. I mean, Joe DeMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com joins us. Joe, how are you today?
Hey, how you doing? How's everything?
Well, we kind of warmed up here the last couple days, so we're doing a lot better than we were 2 or 3 days ago.
I'm glad to hear that because I worry about you guys when I look at that Midwest sometimes, and wind's howling, snow is falling. I'm sitting here in Tampa, not that I'm feeling bad, but I'm sitting here in Tampa just wondering if you guys are all right.
I bet you're real concerned, Joe. Joe, appreciate you joining us here this morning. Joe, the big news lately is the death of Chris Henry. How will that affect the Cincinnati Bengals in your mind?
Well, they've played without him now for several weeks due to a broken forearm. And, of course, the untimely death of Chris Henry is something you can't plan for. My thoughts and prayers go out to his family. As for his point of view as it pertains to the Cincinnati Bengals, they've essentially been playing without him now for 4 or 5 weeks. And although they'll grieve, I suspect they'll not do much to alter their team or game plans going forward.
Joe DeMeo joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Joe, we head into the semifinals for most folks in their fantasy football weeks. Where are some great, great matchups that folks should be looking at already? I know we got a couple of questions. Maybe we should get to that first. So let's do that. Chris says, ask Joe, since I'm a horrible fantasy coach, who I should play as a flex this week. He has LaDainian Tomlinson, Beanie Wells, and T.O.,
It's certainly going to be between Tomlinson and Wells. Tomlinson is going up against Cincinnati. Now, the interesting part is Cincinnati normally has a very stout run defense, but their stopper, D'Amato Pico, is going to miss another week of action this week. So Cincinnati might be vulnerable up the gut. Beanie Wells has a really nice matchup against the Detroit Lions. So this one is a little bit tougher than I would like it to be. But, of course, I think what you do here is you play LT and hope that he finds pay dirt somewhere along the way.
Joe, I want to ask you once again, since week 8's bye, Carson Palmer only averaging 172 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 INTs. Is that a direct result of Chris Henry not playing?
No, it's not. It's a direct result of the game plans that have been given to Palmer and that offense by the Bengals coaching staff. The Bengals defense has really carried that team now for several weeks. And, you know, when Palmer's throwing for 92 yards or 100 yards or 110 yards, you know that it's all game planned. He claims his arm is healthy. He claims he's fine. He claims the offense has no real issues. And yet what we're seeing is an offense that is not run first, but run only. And they vowed to come out of it this week, but they take a tough opponent, San Diego, on the road to have a breakout. I think Marvin Lewis just knows that he has this thing sewn up and just doesn't want to make too many big mistakes. Don't forget, he's beaten the Ravens twice and the Steelers twice, so effectively he has a four-game lead, you know, with three to play. So that's more what I think it is. But I do think he's making a mistake by not playing the game of football the way it was intended.
Mark is a big fan of the website as well. He says if anyone has a message for Joe and they don't get it answered on our show, then head to the website at fantasyplayersedge.com. Mark says there's an Ask Joe section there, which we know. He goes, I asked a question over the weekend, and he got right back. There's lots of other great info on the site. So as we've always said, go to fantasyplayersedge.com over the weekend as you're getting close. And Mike in Hastings has a question for you, Joe. He says it's a touchdown-only league. He needs to start either Big Ben or Jason Campbell. Is there a consideration here?
Well, let me start with Mark. Mark, thanks for the props. I appreciate that. And, yes, I answered question 7x24. Talking about Mike, there is some consideration only because Pittsburgh has played so poorly and going up against Green Bay Packer defense. That is a quality defense, third best against the pass. Campbell goes against the Giants defense, which McNabb made look silly. Now, we are talking Jason Campbell versus Big Ben Roethlisberger, but in this particular case, Mike, I'm going to tell you to start Jason Campbell against the Giants.
I'm going to throw this one at you, too. Washington scored over 30 points back-to-back weeks for the first time since 06.
This game of fantasy football is not about playing the biggest name at the most opportune time. It's about playing the best matchup. Unless it's an obvious situation where it'd be Drew Brees going against Green Bay or something like that. Roethlisberger hasn't played extremely well this season, in the last 3 weeks of this season. And I think ever since he opted to sit out that game against the Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers have been a different team, both emotionally and physically on the field. Campbell has been great, as you noted, Daddy, over the past 2 weeks. Just ride him out.
With us is Joe DeMail. Isaiah's every Thursday from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. We'll probably have Joe on next Wednesday because of the Christmas Eve 1 week away. Is that going to work for you, Joe, next Wednesday?
Oh, no, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It'll probably be in the championship of most.
I intend to be there. I intend to be there, too, and I need your help because Ryan Grant, I can't figure out. I play him. He gets me 4 points. I set him last week. He goes bagongos, and now he's playing Pittsburgh. I've got Grant and Donald Driver on my team. For most of the year, they've been really good. Last week, they were not. But LeSean McCoy and Thomas Jones and Ryan Grant, those are the three running backs I have to consider this week, playing two. Your suggestion?
No, Sid McCoy. McCoy's going up against San Francisco. The 49ers rush defense is really, really solid. 3.7 yards, 10 touchdowns on the season. Even though Grant is running up against Pittsburgh, and we all know Pittsburgh's got a great run defense. In fact, they've only allowed 4 TDs on the season. LeSean McCoy is not a guarantee to get enough touches to be fantasy relevant, where you know Grant will get enough touches. Maybe he breaks one. Maybe he gets a plunge.
Joe, I want to ask you about Pierre Thomas again. Is he playable at all?
Gosh, I'm going to tell you to shy away from all the New Orleans running backs for the time being. They go against the Cowboys team in a must-win situation for Dallas, not for for New Orleans, but Dallas. And, they should be in decent shape. Dallas's run defense is decent. They only allow 4 yards to carry, 6 touchdowns on the season. But the way these Saints have been spreading the ball around. Reggie Bush is now healthy again, looking very, very good. Mike Bell is going to play this week. I'm going to recommend that he stay away from all the Saints running backs at least this week.
I know this is a strange question. Neil Rackers are talking about putting on the bench, but having a kicker as opposed to no kicker. I mean, if you got to change somebody up this late in the season, I think Billy Cundiff is still out there. Is that the best option?
Cundiff is a damn good option. Excuse me, I shouldn't be.
That's okay. It's okay.
Cundiff's a darn good option. And I think what you have this week is you have a Ravens team that is playing for everything. And Chicago comes in. I'm a little worried about the weather. To be honest with you, I'm a little bit worried. I prefer if you take a look at Matt Prater. Denver's going to be beautiful this week. Oakland's coming limping in. Prater should have lots and lots of opportunities. If he's out there, I'd rather you grab him this week over Cundiff, because I am concerned with the weather in Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now. He's available. Garrett Hartley's available. Jay Feely and Ryan Lindell. All of those guys are available. But
I would take Prater at the moment. And Hartley is a nice play. The problem is he's dinged up a little bit, and I'm wondering if since New Orleans has been carrying two kickers all year, they've been carrying Carney and Hartley, he has a hip problem. Hartley does. There's no reason to play Hartley. They can sit him, activate John Carney, play him for one game. I'd say grab Matt Prater and ride him for a while.
Joe, always thanks for the advice. We look forward to championship week. Next week we'll hook up with you on Wednesday, and I wish you a Merry Christmas up until then.
Yeah, and I want to thank both of you. You guys are a joy to be on every week. The questions are always enlightening, coming from the greater Kearney area, and of course you guys always challenge me with good stuff. So much appreciated, gents, and I'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week.
Joe, I want to tell you you're a damn good guest.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
See you, Joe. Take care, buddy. Joe DeMeo, check it out at fantasyplayersedge.com. He'll get back to you as well, the very latest. We're going to have our NFL power rankings, but first, Daddy, a couple of emails that you want to get to, and then into the power rankings. I still, 8, 9, and 10, I don't know. I might have to do it, Daddy. I mean, 8 to 12, I think 7 and up, that's about it. Maybe 8, yeah, maybe even farther. What do you do with these teams? But first, I'll let you run down the emails, a couple on Chris Henry here, and then go ahead and hit your top 10. There is NFL football tonight, Colts and Jacksonville.
Colts and Jacksonville, an interesting matchup, and I'll let you, during my power rankings, came up with an interesting quip and a note about that. But we head to the Den Pop Rimbex. Inbox, home of the armor lining. Aaron and Carney says, hey, guys, you have to feel for the Bengals this year. To lose two people so close to the organization, coach's wife that died was said to be a big part of that team, kind of the team mom. Then they lose a guy that has turned his life around and is playing a part of the team again. Terrible to see. So if Sean Watson said that they were using this time as spring practice type of deal, Cody Green better be learning some plays. If it is the actual reason he isn't playing, then he needs to be learning, especially if Zach Lee is hurt. Also, here's a thought. Why doesn't LaTravis Washington teach Lee how to take a hit? If I had to watch that weak beep player run that option without making that linebacker commit, I'm going to puke. The point of option is to not have one linebacker be able to cover both the option quarterback and the running back. So true.
He never turned the corner well all year. I mean, he'd get to that edge, and he wasn't real fast at getting to the edge either.
No,
but once he got there, he just could not turn up field.
P.S. Ghosters, and yes, that's right. Cow turd is still an ass. Appreciate the email, Aaron. I just can't believe that that's an option in your playbook when you got Zach Lee in the game. But that nonetheless.
After you ran it about four or five times and saw that you're not getting more than 1 or 2 yards each time and losing yards sometimes, you need to scrap that play. Just rip it out of the playbook and just throw it in the trash.
Now we go back to the Den Popper inbox. I heard you speaking of losses of Cincinnati Bengal player and how difficult it would be for the team to recover from that. Imagine if this were a high school team and the funeral was held on the same day as a game. More difficult. Well, according to the Omaha World Herald, this shouldn't have any effect, as it was a reason for Elm Creek football team not being in the final ratings. This included reigning two teams. Elm Creek dominated in the regular season, so the Bengals should be able to handle this with no trouble. Of course, referring to the player Elm Creek, the first game out of the chute, goes to Ravenna, a game which we covered in very sad circumstances, and Elm Creek was certainly not the same team that night than they were throughout the rest of the season. And yes, a very, very sad situation there.
Well, a lot of times it's, you know, an instance like this is something the team can rally around and something that a lot of times they find reasons to play for other than just winning football games that year. They're playing for, you know, their lost teammate and those kind of stuff. So, but it was like Joe said, I mean, you know, Chris Henry hasn't especially been with the team the last couple of years. He's been nursing an injury, or the last couple of weeks he's been nursing that injury. So I guess, you know, as far as him not being on the field, they'll be used to that, but now with him gone, I think that's some extra motivation there.
Derek, we've got to get to the NFL power rankings, and that's something we do every Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. At number 10, No, I don't have the Dallas Cowboys, my favorite team in all the land. I've got the New York Giants because, well, the Giants have owned Dallas this year. They head to Washington, and they played in a score fest with Philadelphia. Got the lead for just a short time towards the end of that game, I believe 31-30, and couldn't hold on. At number nine, I've got Arizona at 8-4. You got to hold on to the football, guys. Seven turnovers is not going to get it done. I don't care if you're playing the 49ers. I don't care if you're playing the Detroit Lions. You will lose to the Detroit Lions. You will lose to Iowa State. I'm telling you that right now, Arizona Cardinals. I think Detroit is a game in which everybody gets healed up. Should be a field day for Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Breasdon, Anquan Boldin. The list goes on and on. At number eight, I've got the Denver Broncos sitting at 8-5. The Raiders come to town. Did you realize after Brandon Marshall's big week last week, Marshall's never had more than six catches and 84 yards against the Oakland Raiders? Interesting note there for all you people that would love to shove him into a lineup this week. Number seven, the Philadelphia Eagles, 9-4 versus the 49ers. Philadelphia team, Donovan McNabb all of a sudden jumps right to the forefront of great quarterbacks in the NFL this year. Why is that? Well, it's pretty easy when you got people running wide open down the middle of the field. Amazingly enough, he can hit them, and he's done a fabulous job no matter what his age is. Number six, the Green Bay Packers. Wasn't real great against Chicago, but found a way to get it done there, 9-4. They head to Pittsburgh in a game, which, weirdly enough, I think Pittsburgh may win. But nonetheless, I've got them at number six. 5-1, I dropped Cincinnati one spot just for the simple fact that I don't think they're going to be very focused. I think San Diego will handle them at 9-4. Number four, Minnesota, 11-2 at Carolina. San Diego, number three in all the land. Indianapolis, the number two team, and New Orleans, the number one team in all the land. Interesting note about Indianapolis. They've won eight out of the last 11 in the series versus Jacksonville. Wonder why that point spread is 2.5 or 3. Well, eight of them have been less than 7 points.
So,
why isn't the spread 6? Who's number one?
New Orleans.
Our top five are exactly the same. In fact, I didn't change it. I left Cincinnati at number five. They lost to number four, Minnesota. So there you go. New Orleans, Indianapolis, San Diego, Minnesota, Cincinnati. Green Bay is sixth. Green Bay might be the hotter team right now, but Cincinnati beat them even though it was very early in the season. I'm going to keep Green Bay at six because, let's face it, it wasn't all that impressive over a Chicago Bears team that is not playing very well. Philadelphia could be the hottest team right now. I have them at number seven. And then what do you do after that? I was going to put three teams in, so I put Arizona at eight. That was just a total letdown game after beating Minnesota. I think they bounce back. Denver at nine. They haven't played all that well, but again, they played okay against Indianapolis. And just because the other teams I had to consider were New England, the Giants, and Dallas. Dallas has a better record than the Giants. The Giants have beat them twice. New England doesn't look good. I don't know why. I still, for the last time, maybe the last time this year, Baltimore at number 10.
All right, the love of the Ravens.
Just because you hate Baltimore.
Oh, I love Baltimore. You know that.
So that's our NFL power rankings here in week number 14. I guess that's enough to...
Quick note here before we get out of here, Doug. You get the music, Derek. But Sports Illustrated has named an honorable mention All-American. That Ohio Kearney native, Noah Keller. Congratulations, Noah. Super job.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Glad to hear it. Noah and his teammates getting ready to take on the Marshall Thundering Herd the day after Christmas in the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl. That is at 11 in the morning on ESPN. So after the family gets out of there on Christmas, you can kick back and start watching football with the folks there. Coming up on the program tomorrow from ESPN.com, Tim Griffin, the Big 12 beat writer, will be joining us to preview the Bulls, possible expansion, and Mark Mangino out, Turner Gill in at the University of Kansas. We want to thank Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald. Also want to thank Mike Shadwinkle, head wrestling coach at Grand Island, and Joe DeMeo of FantasyPlayersEdge.com for joining us on the show today.
And I want to thank Brandon from Wahoo for correcting me. I guess he was right. Brandon, we did throw a pass down there to Brandon Kenny. So we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Drew. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.